Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15, found on page 1024 of the Bibles in the chairs. I invite you to turn there with me and follow along as I would read Matthew, chapter 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." So the word of the Lord for us today. A number of years ago, a friend of mine told me, after probably imbibing a little too much of the fermented drink, said, "I'm okay to drive, I just had a cup of coffee." And someone else who told me that he once thought that baby oil came from squeezing babies. I myself thought they got animal crackers from the animals and whose shape they took. You know, they take an elephant, you mash it up in a machine, and then you bake the stuff, and voila, you've got an elephant animal cracker. Have you ever heard things like you might drown if you swim after less than a half an hour after you eat? Your grandpa ever tell you that if you swallowed your gum, it would stay there for 7 years? Mom's come up with good ones, too. If you make that face, it's going to stick there forever. Well, we live in an age of information. We've got all sorts of information, and people are telling us stuff here and there and everywhere. Not all of it's true. Not all of it's very accurate. And not everybody pays attention to good, proper, or authoritative sources. In fact, to pay attention to sources is kind of passé today, to think that there is an authoritative source out there. We live in a whatever world, I think. Whatever is the response. Whatever. That's just your opinion. Whatever. But sometimes acting on the wrong information can be a dangerous thing to do, especially the drunk who thinks he's okay to drive because he had a cup of coffee. Spiritual life also includes information overload at times today. We're exposed to so much more these days. We live in a global world. We're exposed to many more religions. And there is a callous indifference to proper sources, to think that in the religious spiritual life there is an authoritative, or would be an authoritative, source. In our Bible reading this morning, and by the way, this church believes that the Bible is an authoritative source for our faith and what we believe and how we live our lives, In our Bible reading this morning, Jesus deals with some spiritual misinformation too. Religious leaders were misleading people into believing that these outward acts of religion could actually take care of the sin and the evil in their hearts. Instead, however, their outward acts of religion were only covering up the sin and the evil in their hearts. Now, last week we looked at how the condition of the heart can affect our giving. And this week we look at how the condition of the heart can cause so much noise in a person's life that it makes it very difficult to hear the voice of God, especially in a world filled with so many other voices speaking to us. So let's listen in on and listen carefully to this important conversation Jesus has with the religious leaders of his day and with his disciples too. You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they started making up their own rules for people, rules that went way beyond what God commanded in his word. And they got a little upset when people didn't agree with them, especially when it was Jesus. One day, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they waltz up to Jesus and they complain to him, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Apparently, Jesus isn't recognizing this tradition of the elders that's been handed down through time from other elders. Washing hands before you eat had become such an important rule and law that if you weren't doing it, you were committing a sin. It's like the 11th commandment that says, "Thou shalt not wear jeans to church." It doesn't exist in the Bible, but for some people, it might as well be biblical law. Don't wear jeans to church. Now, this is quite a charge against Jesus. The words sound like Jesus is leading people astray because he's not enforcing these traditions of the elders that have been handed down, the human tradition. Thankfully, Jesus knows the difference between human tradition and divine law. Jesus, quick to think on his feet, he makes this counter charge in the passage in verse 3. He says, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites." Jesus calls them hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Someone is pretending to be someone they're not. They're play actors. They're pretending to be righteous and God-fearing. This countercharge of Jesus can be a little difficult for us to understand today. It goes like this. God says in his word to honor your father and your mother. But your tradition says that if you have some money and you say it's devoted to God and I'm putting it in the offering plate, I don't need to take care of mom or dad. That's what the tradition is saying. This money is devoted to church, so I don't need to take care of mom and dad. But the clear word of God says that you take care of mom and dad. So they're nullifying the word of God for the sake of their tradition and keeping their tradition alive. Their morals were turned upside down. See, it's the religious leaders themselves who are turning people astray and causing them to sin, causing them to break God's commands. "Isaiah was right about you," Jesus continues in verse 8. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Ouch. Ouch. Jesus tells them their worship is in vain. It's heartless. God wasn't pleased with the spiritual junk food that the religious leaders were serving up. Human traditions can be very good, but may never be placed on the same level or above the scriptures, the word of God. They certainly shouldn't be used to enslave and burden people. And that's what was happening. So what happens next in our story, in our passage this morning? Jesus turns and he calls the crowd to him. He says, "Come a little closer," verse 10. Gather around. Jesus, as if he's saying, let's set the record straight here. And what he says next is very audacious. Even in challenging this teaching of the elders, Jesus is claiming to have this authority that's greater than these elders, greater than the tradition, and that's a big thing to claim. It's very interesting. Listen and understand, he says in verse 10, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean. Of course, he's not talking about germs and bacteria here, right? He's referring to the spiritual cleanliness and spiritual impurity. Your hearts are far from me, was his quote from Isaiah. Well, solving the heart problem by washing hands is like taking a bath to cure cancer. It doesn't work that way. You worry, he says, about outward religious rituals, but your heart is far from me. You're working so hard to get it just right in worship, to obey all the commands just so, but your hearts are far from me. You're wearing the right clothes, you're putting perfume on and looking pretty and putting a smile on your face when you come to church, but your heart is far from me. How about us? Do we place human tradition above God's word too? There are certainly churches out there that place human tradition alongside of, or even above, the word of God. Our church says that's not what Jesus teaches. Church tradition, the creeds, confessions, the church order, they are under the word of God. Church tradition is changeable. The word of God is not. Church tradition is fallible. The word of God is not. There's also another subtle form of tradition that's not official, like the no genes rule, and we see it often. It's written in the traditions. It's an unwritten tradition that, with no biblical basis. These extra rules and regulations, they often obscure what God is trying to communicate to us. That's why it's vital for every individual and church member and individual church to be careful not to judge too quickly, lest they start enforcing something that's not biblical or calling something sin that is not, and then become a law unto themselves and producing guilt and legalism versus freedom in Christ. Listening to other voices is another way we may place human tradition above God's word. Just the pride of listening to our own voice and only our own voice is one of those ways. Like I said, some people like to use the word whatever to dismiss what someone else says. They don't care about what you said or disagree with what you said, and they can't come up with anything intelligent of their own. They'll just say, oh, whatever, whatever. It's the lazy way of saying, I'm not listening and I don't care. And it's a dangerous form of individualism and isolationism, I think. Disregarding the wisdom of community and past leaders and scholars, whatever. Its misuse may be an indication of the deadly sins of sloth and pride. Oprah has become a cultural voice, an icon, and for some people, whatever Oprah says goes. Cosmopolitan magazine will also give you all sorts of advice from dating to sex to diets and relationships, so I've been told. There are many voices out there. Many people listen to voices, and voices like that say that work is most important. You have to put that first in your life. And so there's no time for church. And soon, as Isaiah puts it, we are living by rules taught by men, cultural norms, cultural rules, instead of living by the word of God. Our hearts go far from God when we're listening to other voices, and we don't hear his as the primary voice in our lives. So whose voice are you placing above God's today? Are you simply going through the religious motions in church, but your heart is far from God? Would you listen for his voice today? Are you trying to listen for his voice? You spend time in his word. You have a daily Bible reading devotional plan or devotions that help you get closer to God. You take prayer breaks throughout the day to pray about your concerns, your needs that come up. God's word is powerful and active, the Bible says. So simply reading it is doing something very spiritual. And reading it means you're getting the truth straight from the Creator himself. And God's Spirit has a way of working his word into our lives and changing our hearts from the inside out. But back to our story today from Matthew. Jesus was trying to set the record straight when he calls the crowds to come near him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're listening in still, of course. God's word was being pushed to the side for the sake of human tradition, and Jesus knows the importance of God's word. Jesus knows that merely washing your hands is not going to take care of a sinful heart, a heart sinful from birth because of original sin. Jesus knows that the heart, which is deceitful above all things, as Jeremiah puts it, that the heart needs to be transformed. And Jesus knows that the word of God has the power to transform anyone, no matter how sinful. That's our hope, and that's our gospel message. That's our hope and gospel message here at Fellowship 2, that God can transform anyone, no matter how sinful. The word reaches deep into the dark corners of our hearts, and the word shocks us awake from our sleeping and our filth. The word makes us alive when we're dead in our sins and our empty way of life. The word of God was a driving force for Martin Luther's his own life transformation. Martin Luther was an important person for the transformation and reformation of the church in the Middle Ages. He said this: "Since these promises of God are holy, true, righteous, free, and peaceful words, full of goodness, the soul which clings to them with a firm faith will be so closely united with them and altogether absorbed by them that he or she not only will share in their power, but will be saturated and intoxicated by them. If a touch of Christ healed, how much more will this more tender touch, this absorbing word of God, communicate to the soul all things that belong to the word?" The tender touch of the word absorbs, saturates, intoxicates a person who clings to God's word with faith. For there's power in the Bible, power to change and transform lives. You see, the minor prophets we've been studying this summer, they pointed people not just toward the future, they pointed people to the word. Remember, listen to the word, listen to the Torah. There were blessings and curses, blessings for following God's word and curses for not following God's word. Go back and listen and hear the word the prophets called us to. Jesus was making this clear to the crowd and his followers. These outward acts of a religion alone would not mean a thing if the heart is off running its own idle business. John Calvin, another important person in the Reformation of the Church, says the heart is a factory of idols. It's a factory that must be shut down and transformed into a factory instead that would produce good things and works and adoration to the true and living God. But in our account today, the disciples tell Jesus that the religious leadership were offended at what he was saying. And Jesus says, "Don't worry about them," verse 13. "Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, they will fall into a pit." So then Peter says, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus goes against the handbook of teachers to responses to dumb questions, and he says what every teacher has probably wanted to say: "Are you still so dull?" tells Peter. "Whatever goes into a body goes out," he says, "but what comes out of the mouth, that is what makes a person unclean or impure. The mouth speaks what's in the heart, for out of the heart," he says, "come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, false testimony, and theft, and slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands doesn't make him unclean." The heart's got to be transformed, Jesus says. Just doing the religious thing, just going to church every Sunday, just being a pretty good person in life, just putting money in the offering plate on a regular basis, just limiting yourself to the so-called little sins, all of this isn't going to mount to a hill of beans. Your heart has to be transformed. A person must be transformed from the inside out, and God does that through the power of His Word and through the ministrations of His Holy Spirit. You can't do that. Charles Spurgeon once says that the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just let it loose. Let it loose. Let it loose in your lives. See what happens. And while you're all smart people and you've probably figured out that even a good Bible reading regimen and daily devotions can become like washing your hands before you eat. Just reading the Bible for the sake of tradition and no other reason can be, as the Bible puts it, a form of religion, but lacking the power thereof. Many children and teenagers are turned off by their parents, who maybe read the Bible on a regular basis, maybe at the dinner table, rather than go and live a life that is totally contrary. Children and teenagers, they see that contradiction. They see when their parents are being play actors, being hypocrites. See, the devil doesn't mind a form of religion as long as it doesn't affect the heart, as long as the religion doesn't have that transformational power in a person's life. That's why being in a church, doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Or reading the Bible, it doesn't make you a saved sinner any more than reading the owner's manual of a car makes you a mechanic. A great Christian author, John Piper, once said, "If God's reality is displayed to us in His Word and in His world, and we do not then feel in our hearts any grief or longing or hope or fear or awe or joy or gratitude or confidence, then we may dutifully sing and pray and recite and gesture all we like, but it will not be real worship. We cannot honor God if our hearts are far from Him." So as important as a good daily Bible reading discipline is, and it is a good thing, I want to say that this morning, we shouldn't mistake the reading with the relationship to which it calls us. The Bible, God's voice in His Word, points us to a relationship with Jesus Christ, for He's the only one who can deal with the heart that has been so sinful from birth. He's the one that can heal the wounds and the hurts of the past, who can deal with the sin and guilt and shame. The Word of God leads us to Jesus, who died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse our hearts and make them new. The Word of God points us to Jesus, who transforms us from the inside out. The Word of God points us to the way, the truth, and the life. And the voice of God calls us to place our lives, our futures, into the hands of Jesus. Trust Him to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us, that we may receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior of our lives. Do you hear the voice of God today? Are you even listening? Would you pray with me? Lord, when the noise of life becomes too great, when other voices become too loud and too many, when we cannot hear You anymore, when these things happen, Lord, quiet us with Your love. Still our anxious hearts and unstop our ears, that we may once again hear and heed Your gracious voice. Convict us, O Lord, when we've placed human tradition above Your Word. Speak to us of eternal things, of things that truly matter. Speak to us of our relationship with You and other important people in our lives. Speak to us of calling, service, and that passion that You've placed in our hearts. Speak to us of justice and mercy, of caring when others seem to have stopped caring. And speak to us, O Lord, of the precious Lord Jesus Christ and Your great love for the world. Speak, O Lord, for Your servants are listening. Amen.